tombs and the graveyard, cemetery. He was demon-possessed, but in the end, Jesus delivered him from his bondage. So it's not all bad. It kind of, it turns out good, just like every Jesus story pretty much does. But Jim is gone today. He's him and Debbie are in North Carolina to see their new grandson. I forgot his name. Anybody? Help me.
Tristan.
What?
Tristan.
That's it? I'm trying to think of that all week. Thank you. So let's just pray for their safety coming home and pray that they're having a good time. And we'll see them next Sunday. But I want to always like to start off with a story. This has nothing to do with this church, with this sermon, with anything, basically. So I'm just going to tell it. Because it's one of them, what moments? What? But I was going to work about a week and a half ago, and I drive to Hermitage, like most of y'all know. It's about 28 miles one way, so I have a lot of time to think and listen to music, podcasts, whatever. I'm tooting along Mount Juliet Road, and I see this sheriff deputy. He did a U-turn right in the highway. And I was like, okay, well, he got a speeder or somebody had a fender bender, something like that. So traffic started slowing down. Is there any kids in here? Okay. But as I kept getting closer, I was like, okay, what's he doing? Well, there was a little small deer that got hit by a car.
Oh.
So in my mind, I know what he's about to do, you know. And so I drive by, you know, the poor deer's limping, and, you know, the deputy's kind of walking around and got his hand on his nine, whatever. And I said, yeah, I know what's about to happen. So as I drive on by, I look in the rearview mirror, and bam, he shoots him. And I'm like, okay, man, that dude just shot Bambi.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to feel, you know, because I'm like, this poor deer, but then I'm thinking, you know, we're so overpopulated with deer in this area. I don't know how many I almost hit coming home every night. Frank knows that weekly lane is crazy back there. And but then I think, man, that's just not something you see every day going to work. You see it in the movies, but not going to work. But anyway, like I said, it has nothing to do with this sermon, but I just wanted to tell it.
Thank you.
I wanted to share that. So I'm going to read. I hope there wasn't any kids in other cars that went, you know, because it might have, like, traumatized them for a while. Oh, okay.
Shot
well.
Him right there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he just shot it.
Yeah.
It was terrifying, right?
So you've seen that too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's crazy.
Kind of I know, I understand that, but it's still sad.
Yeah. I just hope they don't shoot me. Hope my daughter don't take me out one day when I'm old and can't walk or something. Poor guy. You're not going to a nursing home. As long as I'm in Jesus, I guess I don't care. But I'm going to read the whole passage, and 1 through 20, it's kind of long, and then I'll just kind of go back and kind of summarize it. And some of my pronunciations are not correct on these words. You know, y'all try it. All right, so we're going to start chapter 5, 1 through 20, in Mark. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, why do you say it, Keith?
Gerasenes,
that's it. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me, for Jesus has said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit.'" Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion." He replied, "For we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When it came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him go, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. All right. I'm really not sure why God gave me this story to do, but I really like it. It's one of my favorites. A lot of them are my favorites, but this is one also. But if you watch the news today or listen to the news or you read the news on the internet and you see all these terrible things happening, you know, it's just unimaginable the things that are happening in our world. Like some examples I wrote down are like school shootings, families murdering their own families, parents, kids, or siblings, road rage, and a shooting happens about every week out here on I-24. Mm-hmm. You know, and look what happened in Memphis a few days ago. I mean, there's just bad things happening lately. And it's just unfortunate. But as being a Christian and discerning situations and reading my Bible, I know that these are demonic. These are demonic spirits that Satan is sending out to destroy us, basically. And he wants to destroy us. That's all he wants to do. He wants every one of us to go to hell with him. So, anyway, last week, Tanya asked for prayer for her and Pamela and Brenda. Basically, all the teachers that are teaching in schools. Because when I was listening to her, I couldn't believe what they have to go through every day. Yes. The threats they get. These 10-year-olds are threatening their lives. 10-year-old? Really? Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking about that at 10. You know, I had other things on my mind at 10, not shooting my teacher. But by the way, I've been praying for you guys all week. And I pray blessings over y'all. In peace. Amen. And I'm just honored what y'all do. Yes. So thank you. And anybody else that works in a situation, I just won't go there. Everybody's probably working in situations where anything can happen. Yeah. So just be mindful, have discernment, and just know that God is with you and he'll give you peace and comfort. But anyway, like I said, to me, all this stuff is demonic. It's demonic spirits that are going on. Just watch the news, you know, read the internet, whatever you do. But back to the passage. So this man that Jesus encountered had unclean spirits. He was demon-possessed. He lived in the tombs, cemeteries, graveyard, whatever you want to call it. People tried to bind him, chain him up, shackle him. He'd break through every time because those demonic spirits would break through. They had the power to break through all this. And also, this guy was a social outcast. So, Jesus, knowing who Jesus is, Jesus Christ, he did not avoid this man. He made a special trip across the sea and braved a storm simply because he wanted to deliver this man from the grip of Satan. Amen. Everyone else feared him. I mean, how would you like it if you're walking down by a cemetery and some crazy man jumps out at you? But You know, but Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus cared about the condition he was in, and Jesus was moved to do something about it. And this is one of my favorite parts of the scripture. When this man saw Jesus, he went and fell down in front of him. Even he knew Jesus truly was the Son of the Most High God. It's basically the demons, they know. This man told Jesus not to torture him. Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." See, at this moment, Jesus, he's pointing to the demon, not to the man. He's pointing to his sin. He's not accusing this man, but he wants that sin out of him. He wants to make him clean, get rid of this demonic spirit that's in him. You know, we kind of do this today. You know, we see a person and we kind of see the person, not the sin. But we really need to be seeing the sin. That's the problem that we need to rebuke, not the person itself. And are you rebuking this person or their sin? It's like when we pray for the, like somebody has cancer or has anxiety. We need to pray for that specific problem. Yes. And not focus on the person. More of the sins. That makes sense? It made sense last night. And this is not the first time. Sorry about that. This is not the first time that Jesus encountered or had to deal with a demonic spirit. In Mark 1:23-24. Let's see. Let me get over there. Jesus was basically, he was in the synagogue and he was teaching. And it says, "Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" So even demons, they have the insight to know who Jesus is, but they are unwilling to worship him. The demons acknowledge Jesus' ability to destroy them. Everybody doing good?
Yeah.
All right, good. See, the problem today is people, is how they act. And basically, it's like non-believers. They act like this man did because they won't repent of their sins and trust Jesus for their salvation. And in John 3:19-21, it kind of sums up. It just says, "Lost people choose darkness over the light because they hate the light." And who is the light? So if you act like the light, people are going to hate you too, like Jesus tells us to act like. We should act like him, be like him. But then Jesus asked him his name. "My name is Legion, for we are many." There was more than one demon in this man. Back in the day, the Roman armies, they had legions, and they consisted of 2,000 to 6,000 men. So just keep that in mind. So the demons begged Jesus to send them among the pigs and allow us to go into them. Jesus gave them permission. He gave them permission. And the impure spirits left this man and entered into the herd of 2,000 swine. So that just tells you how many impure spirits was in this man. It was a lot. The swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned. In verse 14, the people who saw this happen went back and told others what had happened. This man had been released from his demonic state. How did the people react that saw this? They told Jesus to leave and go away. Most likely, it was to do because they lost 2,000 pigs. And it was going to affect their pocketbook.
I don't care about this man.
Yeah, they lost some bacon. They lost some bacon, man. They sure did. A lot of bacon. Pork chops.
I can
empathize. Yeah, I had some bacon this morning. About 5:30 in the morning. I got up early. So they said if they were thinking if Jesus kept doing these things, kind of things, it's going to hurt their economy. I never really thought of it that way, but I guess it would, you know. All this really says about these people is that they cared more about their money than this man being basically healed from his demonic oppression. You know, they even saw this miracle happen, and they was like, man, I'm more concerned about my money than I am somebody being healed from a demonic spirit. And this man, he begged Jesus to take him with him, but Jesus had bigger plans for him. This man could have been well known and knew a lot of folks in his area. Jesus wanted him to go home to where he was from, Decapolis, and tell everyone what he did for him and to share his story and that the Father had mercy on him. How many times has the Father had mercy on you? The man needed to go and give God the glory and let them know what had happened when you let the kingdom of heaven invade your life. Mm-hmm. If you're a Christian in here, which I know pretty much every one of you, I know where your hearts are. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir most of the time because I know you are good people. If you're a Christian, you need to go tell others how Jesus changed your life and made you a new person. We talk about it every week, how we need to go out and tell others. Jim, he keeps just hammered into us to go out. Just go out and tell others. That's why we're here. There's no other reason we're here but to go tell people the gospel. I'm going to tell another story. I go to the gym some. Probably can't tell it. I eat too much. But I go to the gym a lot, my lunch break, and I've been going there a long time, so I've got to know a lot of people. And this one guy I know, I'm not sure. I didn't know where he was really at with his faith. And a lot of times when I'm in there, it's like him and me are the only two are in there, he and I. Is that wrong English? But we're the ones in there, and we talk a lot. And one day, a couple weeks ago, and we were talking, and it's probably after one of Jim's sermons, saying we need to go out and share the gospel. I pray about it every day. I need to go out and share the gospel. But I'm a big introvert, so it's kind of hard for me sometimes. And so we were sitting there talking, and him and his wife got this daughter. She's got some kind of chronic illness that she's had 28 years, and she's probably not going to live much longer. But they have been her. She has been their whole life. They can't even hardly go anywhere. You know, go to the movies. It's hard to go out to eat because they had to stay home and take care of her. So here I am. All right, Holy Spirit's nudging me. I'm like, oh man, here we go. And he's talking. I'm not even listening to him no more. I'm thinking about, I was sitting there, okay, Lord, what do you want me to tell this man? What do you want me to tell him? I totally just blanked him out for a minute. Then I said, you know, all I said to him was, you know, we'll call him Tom. Well, we'll call him Randy. And I said, Randy, you know, one day she's going to be completely healed, right? And he just kept talking. I said, okay. And I kept talking. And the Lord, I know the Holy Spirit was saying that. I'm not finished. You got to say something else. I said, okay. And then I said, you know, Randy, I'm a man of faith. And I says, I know one day she's going to be completely healed when she gets to heaven. And he says, well, my daughter and my wife believe that way, but I just don't believe that way. And he walked off. I was like, great. You know, I started feeling that, oh, man, you know. But I felt good, too, because I did what, you know, I was told to do. I was like, well, he's never going to talk to me again. I was walking around there moping. I was like, this dude's not going to talk to me. It's like the only guy in here. And but come to find out, we kept talking, and we still do today. And hopefully I planted some kind of seed, and maybe he'll come talk to me, you know, about more about the Lord. And I'll have another opportunity to tell him about how God is good to me, how the Father has been very good to me. But see, just to wrap this up, this thing really flown by. Father doesn't want us in bondage.
That's right.
He wants us freed from our sins. He loves us enough, and he wants us to be healed by his power and authority. You know, and Jesus, well, I tell you, this just gives me chills and almost want to shed tears when I talk about stuff like this. But Jesus loves us enough to be beaten nearly to death, carry his own cross to his execution site, be nailed to that cross, hung there for 9 hours and bled out for you and me. He did it for you and me, no one else. 2,000 years ago, he was thinking about every one of you, and he was hanging on that cross. Mm-hmm. He had 9 hours to think about everybody that would be on this earth. You know, because he wants us to be in heaven with him. It's free. We're free. He died for our salvation. He died for our sins. I mean, I'd rather spend eternity in heaven than in hell. Because, you know, I've heard Charles Stanley say this. I've heard Jim say this. Once you're born, when your spirit's born, it's got to go somewhere. It's either got to go to heaven or to hell. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. And I asked Jim one time, I said, you know, why does good people go to, or says, why does Jesus let people go to hell? He says, well, Jesus don't let people go to hell. They choose to go to hell.
Sure.
So you have a choice. And to me, one of my biggest faults is, like I was saying earlier, is I need to tell more people about Jesus. I need to forget about what I say, what I look like when I tell them. You know, because the Holy Spirit's going to speak for us. That's one of my biggest faults. I pray for that every day. Like, Keith, you got the perfect opportunity. You got them trapped in a car, man.
They won't jump out either.
And they won't. They won't jump out. And see, with my dad, every time he wanted to get on to me when I was young, he'd do it in a car.
I do that to my daughter, too. I like that, my daughter.
And he'd be going 75 miles an hour, and you think I'm going to jump out?
No way.
Every time he wants to get on to me, we're in a car.
Our best conversations was in the car.
And I started thinking, I was getting on to Taylor one time in the car. I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm doing just like my dad did. I can't do that. Stop, Wayne. Stop. I know, that's true. Well, there's one time I want to jump out on I-40. That's it. I'm done. I'll take it. Tuck and roll, Granny. Let's go. But if my dad was here today, he'd be proud of me even more. So.
Yep.
Anyway, so basically, Jesus paid the ultimate price for your salvation, for your freedom. You know, will you honor him today, this week, this year, rest of your life, tell others about him, about the gospel? Will you? You do that for me? Do it for him, not me. All right. Well, anyway, that's it. And what I want to do today is the Lord put it on my heart. I want us to do communion.